Good morning again. Thank you for being with us today. You know, as we read through the story of Jesus' life, there are a lot of very difficult and perplexing elements to how he did the ministry he did and why he did the ministry he did. And one of the more interesting elements is that Jesus' first ministry experiences all happen in the Galilee region of Israel. If you look at the map, and you can see where everything is, you can see that it's almost an equal distant journey from Nazareth to Bethsaida, which is where he calls Philip and Andrew, as it would be if Jesus had instead gone from Nazareth to Jerusalem. He'd have just simply had to have gone south instead of going north. So why did Jesus go north when the center of government, the center of culture, the center of religion, because of course the temple was in Jerusalem, all was in Jerusalem? Why does he instead go north to this very, very different part of Israel? And very much in particular here on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, this is a strange place to be, because the Sea of Galilee itself was divided between Israel and Syria. And so even in Jesus's time, not all of the region is Jewish. In fact, this is the boundary land. It is this gray area between the ancient world that is Greek and Roman and the ancient world that's Jewish. And yet this is where Jesus begins his ministry, in the middle of this very tempestuous and difficult part of Israel to live in. Now, there are a lot of beautiful things about the Galilean region. First of all, it's full of green forests and trees, and it has all sorts of lush vegetation and fantastic fisheries. And of course, it's a very pleasant place to be, even still today. If you go to Israel and you make your way to the Galilean region, it's something of a vacation spot. You can go down to the Sea of Galilee and windsurf and do all sorts of fun things because it's green and lush and beautiful. We don't think about that when we think about Israel. We think about it all being rocky and barren and desertish, which is, of course, the sort of thing that one would expect around Jerusalem. But Jesus doesn't go there for the beautiful landscape. He goes there because the people who are living at the borders, the people who are living at the boundaries of the Jewish Empire, are the people who are most in need of the ministry that he brings. You see, these are people who are living without the benefit of the protection of the walls of Jerusalem. They're living without the benefit of the insulated nature of Jerusalem. You could go to Jerusalem and you could quite easily be a Jew in Jerusalem. After all, that's where the temple is. That's where the priests are. The Pharisees and the Sadducees have their headquarters there. It's an easy place to be a Jew. Out there, everybody thinks like you. In the city of Jerusalem, everyone dresses like you. They behave like you. Their culture is yours, and your culture is theirs, and everybody kind of thinks alike. But that's not where Jesus goes to do his ministry. Jesus goes to Bethsaida, out at the very boundary line between the world that is Israel and the world outside of Israel, where the people who are Jewish are being challenged at every corner and at every turn by people whose beliefs are different, contrary, even people whose beliefs are straight out evil. The Roman Empire lurks very, very close to this border. And so Jesus goes out to these people who are living their faith out in the midst of the most difficult location in all of Israel to live their faith out. These are people who are looking for spiritual and faith-oriented guidance and deliverance. See, if Jesus had begun his ministry in Jerusalem, where it's easy to be a Jew and it's easy to have faith and anyone can do it, because, of course, there's a social expectation that you'll be a good Jew if you live in Jerusalem, Jesus could have gone there and said, "People, I've come to talk to you about faith." And the people of Israel and Jerusalem would have probably said, "Well, of course, that's what our lives are about all day long, every day. Big deal. Who cares?" And, of course, Jesus' message would have transcended what they thought of as faith. Instead, Jesus goes out to the far borderland, and he says to the people who are out here on this boundary between good and evil, Jerusalem's influence far, far away, and he says to them, people, I want to talk to you about God. And people said, yes, please. We want to talk about God. We want to talk about the faith. We have this story about the calling of some of the early disciples. We have Nathanael. We have Philip. We have all of these people here in this part of Israel who are just, they have to stay focused on their faith. They have to stay focused on their faith because literally the world that wants to pull them away from their faith has crowded in around them. And now they have had to make the conscientious choice that they are going to be faith-oriented in how they live. They're going to be faith-oriented in how they see the world. They're going to be faith-oriented in what they expect the future to be about. Jesus goes to the Galilean region because he knows there are people out there, people who are hungry for the Word of God, people who are desperate for a moving of the Holy Spirit, people who are looking for the Messiah for all the right reasons, because they are out there holding on to their faith with nothing to support them but their faith, and the rest of the world pulling them as hard as it can away from their faith. And he comes to those people. And they're not soft-spoken about their faith. You know, we have this fabulous story about Nathanael, and here come Philip and Andrew. We found the one who is to be the Messiah. He comes from Nazareth. What does Nathanael say? Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That backwater city? That little teeny tiny place off in the corner? Too close to Jerusalem, probably, for Nathanael's tastes. They say, oh, come and see. We found the one. And when Jesus encounters Nathanael, does he say, Nathanael, why are you so strict about your faith? Why are you so hard on poor Nazareth? No. He says, here is an Israelite who is Israelite to his core, in whom there is no guile, no falsehood. Nathanael says, sir, how do you know me? He doesn't say, I don't know if that's me or not. No, Nathanael says, of course that's me. Yes, I am Israelite to my core, in whom there is absolutely no wavering. But how did you know that? We don't exactly know what God threw at Nathanael in that moment, because Jesus says, well, I saw you under the fig tree before you came here. For some reason, Nathanael, he says, well, if you saw me there, then you must be God Almighty. One might imagine that Nathanael was under that fig tree praying for the Messiah in that moment, because his reaction is, well, if you saw me there, then you must be the Messiah. One thing is for sure, the people of Galilee were longing for God to move among them. They were longing for the Messiah to come and take a part in their lives, because they were the people who were out there sort of dangling out into the ancient world without support except for their faith. And their faith was all they had to rest on. And they trusted in their faith above all else. And that's who God came to. That's who God called. If you look at the calling of the disciples, they all come from this group of people. Why? Because these people were ready for God to move, ready for God to speak, ready for God to change the world that they lived in, very ready for God to take command in whatever way that was going to be. Ladies and gentlemen, the 21st century has been an odd thing. We've had 21 years of strangeness. And to say that from 2020 to 2021, the strangeness has, if anything, gotten worse, I think is an understatement. We live in a world that increasingly is difficult for those of us who are of the faith to live in. Evil and tragedy surround us. And those who would pull us away from our faith increase around us. You know, all of Galilee wasn't Philip's and Andrew's and Nathanael's. There were people who were pulled away from the faith by the forces of the world that drew them there. But those who stayed, they stayed because their faith was their center. The world that we live in right now is going to pull us in 100 different directions. You can't turn on the news. You can't look at Facebook. You can barely even walk outside anymore without being assaulted by a million negative messages. Things demanding our attention. Things demanding our allegiance. Things demanding our outrage, our anger. More importantly, things demanding fear from us. We live in a world that is on that edge now. We can't say that we live firmly in the center of Christendom anymore. That is not a fair statement to make because we don't. The world has shifted out from underneath of us. We now live in Galilee. And we must learn to live as Philip and Andrew did. We must learn to be Nathanaels who question when people tell us things and say, I'd have to see that for myself. Show me the proof. We have to be people like the Galilean disciples who are willing to literally risk everything on their faith and reject the influences of the world around them. So I say to you all this Sunday, here we are on the banks of our own personal Sea of Galilee. Forces of this world surrounding us on all sides. And Jesus Christ continues to come to us. He continues to come to us and say, come and see, I am in your presence. And continues to call to us in order that we might base our lives solely and singularly on his presence. That he might be our rock that supports us in the middle of the crumbling around us. I say to you all, plant your feet firmly on that rock. Galileans of 2021, join with me as we welcome Christ, our Messiah and Savior, and say to the world, come and see. There is something good to be found here. Amen.